Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast for Resurrection Lutheran Church in Lebanon, Ohio. We will be frequently posting sermons from our Sunday services to offer insights and interpretations of Scripture and to help you connect biblical teachings to your daily life and circumstances. You may also watch our entire worship service online on Facebook or YouTube. This podcast was recorded on Sunday, August 3, 2025. Our guest preacher is Pastor Joan Armstrong.
The Holy Gospel, according to Luke. Please stand for the reading of the Gospel, if you're able. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbiter over you?" And then he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Well, you wouldn't know that by looking at me and my life. I am one person, but in my home I have 6 dining chairs, a desk chair, a couch, 2 comfy chairs and a rocking chair, 3 beds, everyday dishes and china, 2 sets of silverware, and stemware that never comes out of the cabinet. I have so much kitchen stuff, I have to store some of it out in the garage. Let's not even talk about clothes. Do I really think I will ever be that size again? Why do I have so many things? Why do I hold on to them? The messages we get in our culture are all about acquiring things. New cars, new phones, a giant flat screen TV, high speed internet, the latest styles of clothing and shoes, a refrigerator the size of a closet, a nicer home with quartz countertops, bigger, better barns. We even measure the health of our economy by gauging whether or not consumer spending and consumer confidence is up or down. Why are we always adding more possessions? It almost seems like it's our duty to shop and buy more things. There used to be a bumper sticker I often saw: "The one who dies with the most toys wins." And many live as if this is true, instead of knowing you can't take it with you. The desire to have more and more things is not anything new or uniquely American, nor is the pain that greed can cause. The man in the crowd around Jesus 2,000 years ago shouts out for Jesus' help in getting the share of his family's wealth that he thinks he's entitled to. It appears that an abundance of inherited possessions has come between two brothers, bringing anger and resentment to a relationship that should be marked by love. We have probably all seen families torn apart over battles over money. Jesus refuses to get in the middle of the man's troubles with his brother, and instead tells a story about the problem of abundance. The man in the story is already rich when the story opens. He is blessed with land that produces abundantly. He isn't particularly wicked. We aren't told that he came by his wealth dishonestly. He even seems surprised by his problem of having a harvest bigger than his storage capacity. To us, it makes sense to store away the bounty against a time when the land doesn't produce so abundantly. And you can find plenty of biblical evidence that doing just that is a good thing. Remember Joseph in Egypt? He interpreted Pharaoh's dream of the 7 fat and 7 skinny cows to mean that there would be 7 years of abundance and 7 years of famine. Joseph saved the people by building up food stores against the coming lean times. Such action appears on the surface to be good stewardship. What then is the mistake that the rich man makes? Why does God call him a fool? Is there something inherently wrong with having wealth? As citizens of the most affluent nation on earth, that's something for us to think about. But this story isn't as much about the man's riches as it is about his attitude toward them. The rich man in the parable makes the same mistake we can make as well, whether we have a lot of money or not much at all. The problem of the rich man is that he is preoccupied with himself. Look at his little monologue. What should I do? I have no place to store my crops. I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. There I will store all my grain and my goods. I will say to my soul, soul, relax, eat, drink, and be merry. He thinks of the harvest as his own, solely for his use. He shows no gratitude to God for the blessings of having land that produces abundantly, while many others around him were landless and poor. And where did all the bounty come from? He gives no credit or thanks to the workers who helped him plant and harvest such a bumper crop. He has no thought of sharing it with friends or neighbors in need. In fact, he appears to be isolated from any human contact. He doesn't consult with anyone else about his problem. He thinks of his great store of wealth as his source of security. It's true. Things might be lean someday, and he might need all that abundant harvest to sustain himself. But can our own efforts and accomplishments provide us with meaning and significance and purpose that we need to sustain our souls? After all, the rich fool talks of his soul, not his body. The story shows that material comfort and prestige cannot provide a right relationship to God and our neighbors. It is not the ultimate security. Jesus invites us to consider a different way to look at riches. The rich man was not rich toward God, Jesus tells us. What does it mean to be rich toward God? I think it starts by realizing that we cannot and should not fill our lives with more and more possessions just to have them. Material goods just can't bear the weight of giving life meaning. A life that is geared toward wealth and an abundance of possessions will always be empty, not full. Is there ever enough in such a life? The good life, the high life, is often not the blessed life. One has only to read the tabloids or watch the gossip shows to see that rich celebrities struggle mightily to find happiness, even with millions of dollars at their disposal. Some of the more concrete things we might do toward accepting Jesus' invitation into the blessed life as an alternative to the world's good life would be to reflect and pray about what we have, why we have it, and where it all comes from. Adopting a humble attitude of gratitude helps to keep the value of earthly wealth in perspective. Do our possessions support us in our life and work and service to God, or do we work to support our possessions? Do we use our resources in a way that is mindful of the needs of the community around us? We can endeavor to live more simply. Poor people who barely get by don't worry about building bigger barns and preserving their wealth. Sometimes fearing loss of our possessions and things like 401k stock portfolios creates great anxiety for us. The blessed life includes less worry about such stresses. Simpler living may allow us to live more fully in the present with less time spent worrying about the future. We can enjoy our harvest by sharing it with others. While God is the source of all we have and gives us everything we need, God does not do the sharing. That's up to us. Some of us are blessed with more than others, like the rich fool. We are the ones who are to distribute the harvest, whether that harvest is extra zucchinis or dollars. Expecting us to be good stewards, God leaves that work to us. We can offer thanksgiving for the signs of the blessed life that we see around us and be signs of that life to others. I see it in small and random acts of kindness that folks around me engage in during activities of daily life. It's there in those who volunteer at our hospitals and our homeless shelters, those who gather backpacks and school supplies and fill up pantry shelves. I seek to be such a sign in my dealings with others, wherever I might be. I do my best to share the abundance that has come my way in gratitude for God's blessings. The invitation to the blessed life calls us to fill our lives with Christ and not the multitude of possessions that the world tells us we need to acquire. When our hearts are filled with Christ, He shapes our lives into lives of blessing and richness toward God. After building his bigger barns, the rich fool's soul was demanded of him that very night. Before he got to the eat, drink, and be merry part of his plan, he never enjoyed his bounty. Since it appears he has no one else in his life, who knows what happens to his stuff? When our lives end, our souls won't be disappointed at missing out on the fun of our great abundance. Instead, we will be drawn into Christ, a security greater than wealth, and a joy greater than any earthly pleasures. Then, as we have been promised by Jesus, with richness toward God, we will take our places at the table for the banquet that never ends, where there is abundance for all. Amen.
Thank you for tuning into the Resurrection Lutheran Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. If you would like to know more about our congregation, visit us at rlc-lebanon.org. Resurrection Lutheran Church is a church of the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. We are located in Lebanon, Ohio, and have two Sunday worship services at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our mission is to reach people with the love of Jesus Christ. All people, regardless of age, race, socioeconomic status, gender identity, sexual orientation, or cultural background, are welcome at RLC.